Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change. We still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles
Rosen. Did I
say
that?
Jeez. Mary Mullen.
This heinous thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush, TV crush-worthy.
Like so many special guests, and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 Show. Oh, yeah.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's Pete here from the Beverly Hills 90210 Show, doing something a little bit special this week. For a long time, for those of you who follow me on Instagram at Peter Ferrero, even though I'm Pete Ferrero, I'm Peter Ferrero on Instagram. I just don't feel like changing it. long story for no reason. I wanted to interview Angel Boris, who was Emma in season 8, and this took like 2.5 years to happen, but I am happy to say it did. And we talked all about her time on 90210. She's still incredibly stunning and a wonderful person and a mom and has some kids and just doing some cool things. And on top of that, we got into a whole thing about Playboy because she had done Playboy. So she gave some thoughts on that. So I think you're really going to enjoy this. My coffee show, Coffee with Pete, is on Instagram, or Pete's Coffee Show. It's on Instagram. You can see that on Mondays. And I am bringing back 90210 News at some point. It's going to be a little bit different, but just stay tuned for that. I want to also say, I want to shout out Sarah, Darkzilla, and Maggie, who I got to meet last night in New Jersey at Sharky's in Clifton. Really awesome people talking about their love of 90210 and there are other things that they like Metallica and whatnot. And also the podcast, just to hear how the podcast has made a difference always brings a smile to my face, because that's not what I intended. I just wanted to ask Chuck some questions about why the hell did he do this or that? And it's turned into something so incredible for so many people, including myself. And I got to meet my TV crush. So there's that. All right. I am going to jump into my interview with Angel Boris, who I will admit may be like a secondary crush in the later years of 90210. I let her know that. So enjoy it. I think she really brings a lot of cool stories out, and I think you'll dig it. So now, Angel Boris. All right. This is really exciting for me. I'm sort of a super fan of yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because you brought so much to this. Well, this is Angel Boris, who was Emma in season 8 of 90210, and we're going to talk all about that. But you brought so much. You were a disruptor. You brought so much to the story, and you totally changed the universe. And looked stunning while doing it. So
thank you. That's so nice. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you how this all started for you with 902. Well, you had been acting, I imagine, for a long time.
Actually, to be honest, not that long. I moved here from Florida. I moved to California. From Florida in 1997. So 1 year after I was a playmate.
I think I knew that.
I'd always been interested in acting, and I was doing a little bit in Florida, but there wasn't much to, you know, I could really progress there. So I moved here in 97. And to be honest, it was pretty soon after I moved out here, I found an agent and I went out on this audition, and I honestly, it was like one of my first real true auditions out here. And I just was still in shock even when I got it. And I remember when I walked in for my callback, I was not expecting to walk in the room and see Aaron Spelling and Jason and like the producers. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I kind of got a little bit nervous walking in.
When you read it, when you originally read it, because it is a, it's a sexy character. It's something that's going to be different than a lot of other, like not the, only a special person, only someone specific can do this. So when you read it, were you like, oh, I can, this is me, I can rock this? Or what did you think of it when you first read it?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's always fun to play the bitch.
Yeah.
It's always, it's just, it's really fun to be that bitchy character. At least for me, it was. Mm-hmm. Because it's not who I am. I'm not that at all, but it,
there's no story.
Well, I can be a bitch,
but there's no story in your, I was going to ask you this to save it for later, but we're here now, where you disrupted a relationship of this level.
No.
Okay. No. Darn.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
I'm kidding.
But I just thought, wow, this is really fun and different and just kind of being the bad girl. And yeah. I think also, you know, because I had already been in Playboy, sort of playing that sexy role, like it just, it felt kind of natural at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if I were to do that now, I'd feel totally ridiculous, but you know.
But I mean, okay, so you get you go to the callback and you walk into the room and you're like, oh my God, everybody's here.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a little nervous because no one told me that they were going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember calling my manager going, what the heck? You didn't tell me that they were going to be in the room. I don't know if I don't remember if he knew either. But, you know, I walked out and I felt really good. But, you know, that happens all the time. You walk out and you feel like, all right, I did a good job. I felt like I did a good job. And there was really good chemistry between Jason Priestley and me. So
did you read with Jason while you were in the room?
Yeah, for the callback I did.
That's cool. Yeah,
which, you know, so I was, that's what I said, I was taken off guard because I didn't expect that. But I also didn't have a lot of audition experience, so I think they called me the same day. My manager had called me the same day later on and said I had booked it, and I was like, wait, what? It kind of blew my mind, to be honest, because I felt like I'm new here. You know, I really don't have that much experience, and I was just super excited and pumped that, you know, my first real thing was something as cool as 90210, you know?
I mean, it's super cool. And like, you're right in the, I mean, so the thing is that I do this show every week and you're one of those villain types that people don't understand. Like, they don't understand that you were playing a character and that you really didn't just, but you disrupted an iconic couple.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did. It was, you know, it was a little hard at first because everyone was like, you know, people take this stuff real seriously. So,
yes.
You know, it's not easy to be the homewrecker to a popular couple like that. And
this is what I love so much. This is what I love so much about it, because you know what I mean? Because it takes a special person to be able to break up Brandon and Kelly, and it's you. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
No, I mean it though, because you just brought something to the table that 90210 didn't have in its cast at that time. And that's not an attack on anybody that's there. It's just, you were not a part of that. So what was it like maybe the first shooting day?
Wow, gosh, you're taking me back, man.
I mean this is the part of it, it's part, well, therapy.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, I had met Ian Ziering prior to even moving to LA when I was doing Hawaiian Tropic. I was a Hawaiian Tropic girl. Mm-hmm. And I met him on some Hawaiian Tropic thing, and we kind of like, you know, became friends, but not like super close friends. So I was really, when I walked on set first day and he saw me, he remembered, like he knew exactly who I was. And I was like, I was really impressed.
Mm.
Because it had been several years and, you know, we hadn't really talked or anything, but he totally remembered me and I remembered meeting him and we totally stayed friends. Everybody was really welcoming and excited to have me there, which really made me feel awesome. I'm trying to remember if I was nervous at all. I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
But I think just everybody being so awesome and cool and welcoming really helped kind of just calm that nerves a little bit.
Now, this is, I have heard different answers to this question. So whatever your experience is, but were the girls welcoming?
Yeah, actually they were. I'm trying to think of Tori and I, she was very sweet. And I actually became really good friends with her brother for a while, Randy. And I super close for a while. Love Randy. And Jenny was super sweet. I'm trying to think of,
Tiffany?
No, well, I didn't really work with her, but I met them all and they were very sweet.
Lindsay Price, maybe?
Yes.
Janet, yeah.
Yes, thank you for remembering.
No, I'm just trying to jog your memory.
No, I know, I'm trying to remember who all was there. There was, I was super excited. She went on and she did, oh my God, my brain is like not working. Boys Don't Cry or something like
that. Oh, Hillary Swank.
And she was so sweet. She was so cool. And she started around the same time that I did.
That's right.
She actually was on the show much longer. But I remember feeling like really excited when I saw her like really hit it. And then, of course, win an Oscar for her movie, which she was fabulous in. But I kind of lost touch with a lot of people other than Facebook. When my middle son was young, he was in a little class with Jason Priestley's daughter, but they were like little. So we kind of reconnected at that point for a little while, but you know, life happens, you get busy, and I'm not really in the business so much anymore. So
I saw that you had a 2022 credit though. You did something, right?
wait, in 2022, what was that?
I don't know. I was like, I'll look it up on IMDb, but it was like a love something or other. Maybe did I make this up? Hmm. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up because
I have a really bad memory, man. I used to have the best memory.
Oh my God. That's this year. No, it was called, let's see. Hang on.
Yes.
I will tell you. I'm sorry. I just,
no, that's okay.
It was
like, did I do something?
Love XO. Love XO, is that you?
Love XO, no.
Kid, tag your friend. Did you do that?
Oh my gosh! Okay, that was that's funny. I didn't even know the title of it. That was for friend. That right. was for a friend for their little web series.
Got
so
it.
I do get asked from time to time. I do get asked mm-hmm. to do like little things here and there, and you know it's fun to be able to still do that. So I'm always down for it, but. Right now, my main focus is just my kids. So
mom and kid time. Yeah.
I'm like a mom mode, you know, full yeah. on. Two high schoolers and a soon to be middle schooler.
Well, the cool thing is like everything from the 90s is back. So maybe it's time for the second life in the acting world.
Maybe. I need a couple more years until my daughter's like hits her teens and then I'm good.
Okay. all right. So. Let's walk through some of the stuff that you did, right? So at first you come in and you're this, people want me to ask you about the haircut. Was that a choice that you had at the time? Was that your haircut at the time? The bob and whatnot. I mean, I love it. I dig it.
You know, everybody thought that was a wig. It's so funny. Like,
yes.
So many people thought it was a wig, but it was actually my real hair. Mm-hmm. And I think I was compared to Lauren Holly a lot. Mm-hmm. From Dumb and Dumber, because she had that exact cut and it was similar color. So I kind of rocked that for a while. And then
I'm definitely more of an Emma than a Lauren Holly.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
You. Yeah. No, I, and then of course I've had like every color of hair since then.
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram you were blue at one point too. Blue, what are you writing? Is purple. This like a purplish kind of thing
it's
now?
It's kind of purple. It's yeah. kind of a faded purple.
I dig it.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, you come right in and you're right off the bat, you know the character Emma knows exactly what she wants, right? So talk to me about doing some of that stuff with Jason initially.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this was kind of my first real experience, first big role I had landed. So I felt very fortunate that I got to work with Jason because he was such a professional And especially the scenes where like it started to get intimate and we had to kiss and stuff. It can be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, what's interesting is like, because, well, you said you were a playmate. So there's a certain comfort level in an uncomfortable situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of awkward because I didn't have any interest. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're kissing somebody that you're kind of like.
We literally just met.
Yeah, you like just met them really, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of awkward, and everybody's watching, but you know, but they really just wanted somebody that was like super confident and self-assured and knew exactly what she, I mean, she had an agenda from the get-go, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because watching it back, I'm like, wow, she's kind of psycho.
Like, I don't think so. No.
You sent me those scenes and I was watching them like, oh my gosh, like she went in hot right from the start. Like she was there.
She's just very confident.
She had a mission.
I'm defending you. Yeah.
Thank you. No, I mean, Emma had a mission and for whatever reason, she really, really just had a thing for Brandon. And I think that was probably the plan all along. So, you know, she played it kind of coy and kind of, you know, little hard to get, but not really. No, she was pretty straightforward actually about what she wanted.
Well, I mean, she was enough like play,
yeah,
where Brandon would want to come, you know, away from Kelly to play. You know what I mean? Yeah. She was playful, yeah, enough. Yes.
I think she just liked being the temptress, you know, to see, you know,
if she could
she could get him.
And she did. She did. And then what about doing some of that stuff with Jenny Garth? Like, well, there's a couple of things. There's the line in the show, a body in motion stays in motion, right? I mean, do you remember, like, it becomes an infamous line sort of in that season. Do you, yeah, remember that line? And you delivered, you nailed it. So it was great.
Oh, thank you. I mean, thank the directors actually, because like I said, I kind of don't know. I felt like I understood the character and I knew what they wanted, but they just kind of like brought out little things here and there, you know, we'll say it like this. And, you know, just, gosh, it's so long ago. I'm trying to like remember being in that moment. And
are there specific memories that you have from being in the moment on set? No.
I mean, honestly, I felt like the whole thing was, it went by too fast. Mm. they kind of crammed all, because I had five or six episodes.
Yeah.
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 They kind of crammed it into, normally they would shoot like an episode a week.
Yeah.
They sort of crammed it all into a 2-week shoot. So I felt like it kind of like ended really quickly. You know,
they were doing double ups, I think is what they called it.
Yeah, they were. So my time on set was short, you know, mm-hmm, I feel like. And I just remember feeling like kind of a lot of times like a pinch me sort of like, am I really doing this, you know, and felt I just kind of felt excited because I was proud of what I was doing then, you know, and I was getting great feedback and it was just great working with everybody the show at this point was in its 8th season. Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it was like, everybody was kind of settled in, and coming in as the new person can sometimes be like really intimidating.
Yeah,
I honestly didn't feel that once I got on set. I felt like everybody was really welcoming and warm and friendly and like super nice. And they kind of treated me like I was already part of like the regular cast. It was really awesome.
It's interesting though, because in that, you're not aware of this, but in that season, there are people like Hilary Swank and others and Jessica Alba who didn't have that experience.
Really?
They had a totally different experience with some of the people that you worked with. And they've come, I'm not saying that in like a gossipy way. I'm saying that because it's already out. You know what I mean? Like that information has come out. So it's interesting though that you did. And I've talked to a couple other people, like Lindsay Price does not have that experience at all. Like she had a really good experience on the set of 90210. Yeah.
I mean, maybe because my time on set was kind of short. So had I been on longer, mm-hmm, like Lindsay Price or Hillary or any of them, I yeah, I might have experienced a little bit of that. And I didn't, like I said, I think most of the people that I worked with were Jason, Ian, Kelly.
Yeah, Jenny Garth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our Jenny. Yeah.
you still have a little bit of your actor brain that has issues with Kelly.
I know. Mm-hmm. People really relate to the characters as they're real.
Totally. Yes. Well, I think Emma's real. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to find out. Not so much.
What's happening here?
Yeah. Sorry. There you go. All good.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Somebody was trying to call me. I thought I put my do not disturb on. What the heck?
It's all right. All right. So what about doing this stuff with the watch? Do you remember this? Like where the watch, you give him a watch.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff, though, even the stuff that you're not in, like the stuff that's about Emma, like in between, you know, like the stuff that they're dealing with where he's trying to hide it and then she finds the watch and it's the Christmas gift and all of this. And she happens to want a man's watch and she gets it.
You know, and it's funny, I laughed so hard when I watched that scene too, because I'm like, gosh, this is, it's a little corny almost, because it, like I said, it was all accelerated. I'm like, damn, this girl's like buying him a watch and like already like planning their wedding. And it hasn't even been that long. That's where I say the psycho part sort of feels like, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, watch out for that one. So it just kind of made me chuckle, because I'm like, oh man, you know, I guess, you know, it's sort of soap opera-y, but that's why people loved it so much, you know?
Yeah. So were you aware of 90210 before that? Like, did you watch it, or where was it in your world?
I did, but I wasn't like a hardcore, I mean, my sister and my brother, I think a lot of my friends that I grew up with, they were like really, really into it. So of course, you know, everybody that I grew up with and went to high school with was super excited. But I had watched some of it. I just really wasn't a huge, I didn't watch a lot of TV.
Sure.
I was,
you just were on it.
You know? Yeah. I was like, but once I realized that I was going to be on it, of course I started watching it, and then I became hooked on it.
Right. Well, you said your siblings watched it too. So they must have been super excited when you told them that you booked 90210.
Oh yeah. And I remember my sister coming out to visit with her friend, my younger sister. She came out to visit during the time that I was filming, and she got to actually come on set, which was super cool for her. And I think they got like took pictures with Jason Priestley and maybe Brian Austin Green. I'm trying to think if they took pictures with anybody else, but they were super excited, you know, for them, like, oh my gosh, you know, I moved to LA 1 year and I'm on 90210. I mean, it was really cool for them, for my family.
It's interesting too, because you weren't like, you weren't the fun, cheerful new Peach Pit hire. Do you know what I mean? You're the just disruptor in this relationship.
The bad girl.
You're the bad guy, the bad girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun to be a bad girl.
So this thing airs, right? I mean, it's starting to air every week. Do people start recognizing you from the show? What was that experience like for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot. Right after the show came out, I got recognized a lot, actually. And, you know, I think it was the hardest part for me when it first came out was, and thank God we didn't have social media the way we do now, because
your DMs would have been crazy.
Yeah, but also just the criticism from people that didn't like the character or didn't like my look or whatever, picking me apart. And I that was hard for me, because I'm like, oh man, that sucks. You know,
you did get some of that, but where would you get that then?
I mean, I think like online forums, you
know? Because
like,
it was starting. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like
it was kind
Prodigy
of
and AOL and all that stuff started, like, you know, there was that existed.
And I wish I could, I'm sure, who knows if that's even still out there, but I just remember there being like online forums where you could comment about, you know,
the show. There must have been a 90210 room somewhere and people were talking
and
about
it. And I, you know, went in and started reading stuff, and some of it was great and then some of it was not great. And I'm like, oh gosh, I need to stay away from that, you know?
It is interesting about acting, right? Like, you're in the experience and you're doing the work and it's amazing. And then there's millions of people that watch that show.
Yeah.
It's hard to connect that dot maybe when you're in it. And then afterwards, what did you think of the, did you watch the episode yourself?
I did. I did. Of course, I was, you know, critical of my work and like, oh, I could have done that better. Oh man, I wish I'd gotten a second take on that one. There were a couple of times when I could hear it. And it's funny because every time I watch it back, I'm like, oh man, I like kind of like stumbled over my line a little bit. And like this one part, and when we were at lunch and they're talking about the business to pleasure ratio.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Oh my gosh. Stop calling me. Hold on. Okay. And I was like saying something like, I was supposed to say, I'd like to get on with the other 50%. Yes. And I'm like, I would like to get on. I like said it so weirdly. And I'm like, why didn't they take that again? It was very fast. Like there weren't, I guess that's a good thing that I didn't have to do 20, 30 takes. I mean, honestly, most of the scenes were so fast. Like they 2-3 takes and then we were moving on. I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's good.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that's a flub that only you notice. Cause I can tell you in the like history of, you know, doing this podcast, nobody has ever mentioned this Emma flub in season 8 in the restaurant.
Oh,
so
I've noticed a few and I'm like, oh, why did I say it like that? Or, you know, just it, but that's, you know,
let me reassure you. You said everything right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But also just to get to the point of those message boards, that's what it was called, the message board.
Yes,
thought of the title. Yeah. That must have been tough. I mean, as a young actress, I mean, I think your work is incredible. So I'm having some fun about, you know, having a little crush on you. But like, I mean, your work is really good in all this.
Thank you.
So like, it didn't matter what they said in the message board. But how did you deal with that? Because it was the infancy of some of that stuff that I'm sure now actors are dealing with on a, like you said, on a way larger level.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, I guess, you know, it does hurt a little bit because nobody wants to hear people say awful things about you or, you know, criticizing like my hair or my face. Or I think one comment that made me laugh was somebody had said that my face looked like a cat's ass. And I was like,
I don't see that. So,
that's so weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like what a strange comment.
Mm-hmm.
But my manager kind of told me early on.
It's also too, it's what's bizarre about this show is it's not even anything to do with you. It's because they're Kelly obsessed. It's
exactly. Broke up
the Kelly and Brandon. Couple.
Yeah. I broke up Kelly and Brandon. I mean, how dare I?
Yeah. You know? I mean, to a level where Kelly, here's the tape and you smacks you. Oh, I want to ask you about the smack. But Kelly plays the tape and you can see how emotional she's distraught. The scene where Brandon and Kelly break up over this when the tape is played is pretty epic, but it's all your fault. So that's where it all comes with. It's an intensity in doing this podcast. If I side with something that Brenda said, it's intense. If I side with something Kelly said, the other is so it is. It's like no other fandom in an odd way. So
it really is. It's so crazy.
All right, the slap. You
know, it is hard, but my manager told me early on, like, don't read that stuff. Don't read that stuff and just don't pay attention to it because, you know, it does hurt, but I just kind of tried to block it out and just keep going, you know, keep going forward.
I mean, well, it did well. I mean, it was some of the higher rated stuff from season 8 too. So, I mean, that speaks for itself, right? I mean, we could talk about, you know, this thing that you did, but it's one of the things that people do not forget. So
of all the things I've done, this is the thing I get the most recognition for, like 90210. It's crazy how huge it is and how, even though it was only 5 episodes, it was such a standout role.
Yes.
Like everybody knows Emma. Everybody knows Emma, you know?
Yeah.
So that part of it is super cool that I was able to, you know, that's awesome. I feel very proud of that.
Let's talk about the slap. You get slapped from Kelly because she thinks Emma is fooling around with Steve, right? Yep. But she's not, and that's the real twist. But what was the slap like? I mean, is it not? It's not really a slap, was it?
No. Even though I did say, I think I said, it's okay. You can like really slap me, you know. But it was all, you know, nothing real about it. She felt so bad. But I was like, don't like, just, you know, even if you like, I said, I want you to like actually connect with my face because I don't want it to look stupid. Cause they always have you like go just off the face and it looks so stupid, but
no, I mean, this looked real. I thought,
yeah,
this,
she kind of, you know, just lightly, but you know, sound effects make it look even better.
Yeah. And you too, you and the Jenny Garth Kelly character had like a real interesting relationship, because at times she was taking advice from you because she had this whole thing going on in her life and whatnot. So what, I mean, evil. Okay, but, and it was evil, but it's fine. But were you, was there any place that you went to for this character? Was there something, someone that you knew or something? I'm not gonna, you don't have to call them out, you know what I mean? But was there something, or was it just, do you have this side of you, maybe?
Maybe I do. I mean, you know, I guess in my previous relationship, you know, when I was very young and stupid and immature, yeah, I mean, I did a lot of stupid things, but never anything this bad, you know. Never anything.
But were you able to tap? I'm just asking from an acting perspective. Did you tap into something personal?
I mean, I feel like we're always tapping into something, but it's not always what you think. You know, it depends depends on the emotion, you know, that you need to feel, you know. And God, if I was doing it now, I mean, everything would be about my kids, because it's very easy. Yeah, I mean, just the thought of one little thing, you know, it can make me cry like that, because it is just, yeah. So I guess we're always drawing from personal experience, but there wasn't anything in particular or anything very specific. It was just more of like, you know, just trying to go in there and do the best job I could. I really just wanted to impress them. You know, I wanted, I wanted them to keep me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was there ever a thought of that, like of bringing Emma back and any of that stuff? Did you stay in touch with the producers? Because that's something that they did a lot, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I found out, unfortunately, at the time, the manager I had at the time, I don't think he made the best decisions for me. It was very new. We were very new working together. And I had found out later that he, I guess the producers had talked to him about potentially making my character more of a regular character. And he actually, without even discussing it with me first, had said no. Because in his mind, he thought 90210 was kind of dying show. It's eight season. Let's get you on something bigger. It was his thought. But honestly, I was really pissed when I heard about that, because I was like, what? I didn't even know this. He told me way later.
Oh my God.
So I wasn't with him for very long after that, but I felt like, damn, I don't care if it's a dying show. I want to work.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I could see so many things that they could have done with Emma in the future, because she's somebody that, you know, could have come back, and in a way, you know, that might have been hard for Brandon to let go of this girl, you know, that he had this moment with. And especially, you know, I don't even know if you know the rest of the season, but they almost get married at the end of the season. Brandon and Kelly, they do get back together and whatnot. So it would have been nice to see your face there, you know, at the wedding.
I know, you know, it was like one of those things that was like, it was hard to like kind of let go of that. I'm like, dang. You know, that would have been really cool. But I, you know, I guess I just kind of moved on from there. And then,
So after 90210, where did you go? What did you go do after 90210?
So after 90210, guest starring roles on things like King of Queens. And
I've seen that. That was awesome. Yeah.
King of Queens. There was a show called Grounded for Life, show called Las Vegas, which literally got, I don't even know if I ended up being in it. I think it got cut out. I might have had like a second in there. And then I started doing a bunch of just like indie films. Mostly.
Do you like doing that?
Yes, I do. I think being on set and having that kind of more of a steady work, because I did, I think the last big thing I did was General Hospital. And that was just great to, like, you know, have something very steady
and regular. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And regular. Movies are great too, but all the movies that I did at the time were just cheap, low budget sci-fi films that shot in Bulgaria, which was super awesome to travel and spend 5-6 weeks away. You know, the pay was never very good, but right. The experience was always what I went for, you know, just having that experience. I got to go to Ireland and film in Ireland, Warlock 3.
So like you were working, weeks. But you were working. That was cool.
I was working, but just nothing that was, you know, huge or significant. Like I really felt like 90210 at the time was like the best thing. And it could have been like the launch of an even bigger career. So, you know, it was definitely, like I said, a disappointment when I had heard that.
Where is this manager? I have to give him a talking to.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
yeah. Well,
I haven't talked to him in so long.
If you see that friend request, just block that shit.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that. But,
I'm just kidding.
But then the opportunity came to do General Hospital, which was a big, big, big deal for me. So, you know, after doing a bunch of just, you know, little sci-fi films here and there, some guest star roles on TV shows, General Hospital came. And I actually thought that this was it. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I had a 5-year contract. And I originally had auditioned to play the role of Carly, Sunny Carly.
Yes.
Another power couple. And and I didn't actually, I didn't even think I was necessarily right for that role, but I had gone in, I had auditioned several times for Mark Teshner, and he just really liked me, which was awesome. They kept bringing me back. And at this particular time, it was like, you know what? We really, really like you. I just not for Carly. So we're going to create a role for you.
Amazing. Yeah.
I was like, what? And they named my character Angel, though. I'm not so sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's your name.
I know, but you don't understand. Like, that made it really difficult going to anywhere because people go, Angel? And I didn't know if they were
technically, yes.
Me, Angel, or General Hospital Angel. So I was like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But that, you know, so that lasted about 8 months or 5 months. Five months. And then 90210. I mean, sorry, not 90210. 9/11.
Oh, 9/11. The incident. Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next day I got a call from producers that they were changing things up and that I was being released from my contract. I was like, completely devastated, of course.
Of course. You know? Yeah.
Because, you know.
You were just getting started too, probably.
I really was. Yeah. I really felt like, you know, it took me a while to sort of feel comfortable, like, okay, this is good. I'm making steady money. You know, it's very difficult to come out here and make it as an actor. Most of us struggling, you know, I was cocktail waitressing, doing whatever I could, doing lots of tours at the Playboy Mansion, any event that I could do to work and just pay my bills and make money. But I really thought, okay, this is finally something. And I had just gotten comfortable. And then I was let go. So that was a pretty big disappointment, but jumped back into doing movies, sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met my husband, got married and had kids. So
that was the next role, the next big role, wife and mom. I mean,
I did do some things after that. I did some commercial work. I had booked a pilot that didn't get picked up, but that was, my second son had been born. He was 8 months old and I was still nursing and I had to hire somebody to come on set and like stay in the trailer sure. with him. Mm-hmm. And I had to constantly take breaks to go nurse him. And it was so stressful. It was so like exhausting and hard. And also like, you know, I'm paying somebody to be there. So it just didn't seem like at the time, I don't know if I can do this. So it didn't get picked up, which is fine. But I just remember thinking at that point, oh, wow, this is a lot of work.
Yeah. And so taking do you think it's something you want to go back to, though, in all sincerity?
Honestly, I think I do.
Yeah.
And the reason I feel that way is my middle son is he's been involved in acting for a little while now, and he gets asked to do these little web series videos. And they asked me if I could play the mom role a few months ago. And I was like, sure. So I did it. And I honestly was like, wow, I miss this. And it was really cool because I was also working with young kids and
sure.
like they're just starting out. So for them, it was cool. At least I felt like for me, like they appreciated having, you know, someone with experience. So it kind of ignited that love again a little bit. But it's just hard to balance because I've been a stay-at-home mom now for almost 17 years. My son's turning 17 this year.
Mm. And I mean, you are in LA, so there is opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I've always sort of told myself because, you know, when I was younger and coming off Playboy, coming off 90210, everybody only saw me as like that role, you know, especially being a playmate. No, it's okay. But I'm saying like, even just, I would go on auditions and they'd be like, no, she's too pretty. She's too sexy. She's too. And I'm like, what? I can dress down. But they just couldn't get past the playmate thing. Like seeing me as too pretty or too sexy. It was just like, what?
Yeah.
And so I always kind of felt like I've always wanted to play like a really intense role, like a mom role. And now that I am a mom, I feel even more.
Oh, you're going to be able to rock this. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I want to do something that's honestly, I want to do something that's like really intense and difficult and emotional. Cause, I feel like that's where my strengths are. You know, and, it's sort of in a way almost like therapy, you know, you just kind of like, you know, work through some of that. Maybe some of that trauma from the past.
Totally. Well, I wanted to ask you about one thing though. We've been talking about Playboy and there's this whole, have you seen this whole special that has come out about the secrets of Playboy? Have you heard about that?
I actually didn't watch it.
I haven't watched it myself, so I can't, I'm not an expert in this topic, but what are you feeling about some of that?
Yeah. Well, never did I ever experience any of that. So from my own personal experience, Hef was always a gentleman, always. And I was also a playmate when he was married and his boys were really young at the time. It didn't start getting more, you know, wild and, you know, the girlfriends didn't come until much later, but everyone that knew Holly that was at the mansion at the time. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's attention seeking and I think it's kind of sad. I don't know. I feel like I can't say much because I don't know what really happened behind closed doors, but she never seemed like she was a victim or somebody who didn't want to be there. You know, In fact, from everybody that spent more time at the mansion than I did, I mean, she was totally obsessed with having Hef's baby and she wanted to get married and she was like completely obsessed. So I don't know. I feel like it's sort of, you know, just trying to stay in the news, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad because none of the girls nobody that I am really close with that worked at Playboy or any of the Playmates ever had this experience. And I'm still friends with a lot of the employees that worked at both the mansion and at Playboy. And I mean, we're all just kind of like, what? This is crazy. So I honestly can't make any sense of it. And I won't watch it just because it's just upsetting to me. You know, the man's not here to, you know, speak out about it. And those of us that were close, I mean, I wasn't super close with Hef, but a lot of my girlfriends were very, very, very close to Hef. And they're just kind of like dumbfounded. Like, where is this all? I don't know.
And it's weird too, because like every once in a while I'll see some sort of post you know, with another horrifying fact that came out. And I'm like, wait a minute, then how could that have not have been have come out until right now at this moment? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, they also interviewed a lot of people that had opposing experiences and different stories, but they didn't air any of that. So it was a very one-sided thing.
They were looking to make a documentary that went the way they wanted it to go. They were telling their story, right?
Exactly. They were telling their story, and so many people that I know were interviewed for it, and because they were honest and because they told their truth, it didn't line up with what Holly was saying about him. So none of it got aired. So that's, I think, the thing that most people were upset about. It was just so one-sided against Hef and Playboy, that it just was like, wait, maybe she did have a bad experience. But it's so hard for me to believe that Hef did a lot of the things that she said, because Hef never drank. He didn't even allow drugs. In fact, when we were working, we were not allowed to be drinking or doing anything, you know? Mm. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like interesting.
I can't make any sense of it.
Totally. But you had a good experience, and it did lead to 90210 in some way.
It absolutely did, because I met my manager, my then manager. Mm-hmm. Regardless, he still opened doors for me.
He got you in.
Actually, the very first thing I did right before 90210, they had a special audition for Playmates Only for this show called Viper.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll dig it up. Yeah.
Yeah. it's kind of like the Knight Rider with like the talking car kind of thing.
Yes. Totally know what it is. Yes.
And I remember going to that audition. It was like every single Playmate. And they picked two of us, me and Shay Marks, and we flew to Vancouver, and that was super cool. And then it was like right after that 90210 opportunity came about. So of course I was like super excited, you know. Playboy definitely opened a lot of doors for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because you had some run there coming off of Playboy into 90210. It must have been some of the most exciting times of your acting career for sure, right? I mean, what was it like? Absolutely. What was that time period like? The late 90s in Hollywood?
Oh, man. I mean, gosh, you know, when I first moved out here, it was just like, I grew up in Florida, born and raised. So it's very different for me. Beautiful weather, but just the nightlife, and there's always so much going on. And thank God for Playboy, because I was able to keep busy just through, you know, through Playmate promotions. They would keep me busy working and just going out and meeting people and meeting celebrities at the mansion and all that stuff. It was kind of a fun time, exciting time, you know.
Was there anybody fun that you met from a celebrity wise at the mansion?
Oh man, there's quite a few, but one of the coolest for me, and this was also because of Playboy? Actually, no, it might not have been, but I got to meet Sidney Poitier.
Oh, that's very cool.
Because I did a show with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, that for me was like, and he signed my script too. And
that's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, because just like, he's like,
he's royalty. He's acting royalty.
Royalty, 100% royalty. But you know, it's funny. Like I have some pictures of like, somewhere like with Shaq and, I don't know, you meet a lot of different people at the mansion. Gary Marshall, amazing director. One of the nicest, most genuine guys ever. I don't know, like a lot of people, you see everybody there, you know. Kevin Spacey. I think what's funny is I'm thinking of all the ones that I recently found pictures, you know, like from a party at the mansion.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met quite a few celebrities, I guess, but I think of all of them, like I said, the one that made me the most starstruck was Sidney.
That's amazing. Yeah. So looking back on the 90210 experience, it was a good one. And
it was for me.
Do you still get recognized from this? Do people still say, wait a minute, were you on 90210?
You know, I mean, sometimes.
Besides me. Yeah.
Occasionally, but rarely. I think if I had my hair still the same, probably. Cause you know, like occasionally people kind of look at me like, you know, like you look familiar, and then I'll be like, well, you know, or my husband will kind of rat me out, you know, like, oh yeah, my wife was on 90210. I'm like, why are you telling everybody that?
has he seen the episode?
I'm trying to think if he's seen, you know, I don't know if he ever saw it. I mean, maybe he did.
This is probably why you guys are married. Secretly.
But, you know, that's a good question. I'm gonna have to show him that clip you sent.
Yeah.
Of like all sure. the clips.
He's gonna be like, wait, what's going on here? What is this? I'm just kidding.
Yes, but hey, no, I don't get recognized as much anymore. But that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is like there might be a little bit of 90210 coming your way now on social media from doing.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And you're so sorry about what happened with Kelly and Brandon, right? You didn't mean for that.
No, I'm very sorry. Yeah. I really am a nice person. I'm not a homewrecker, I promise.
Amazing. Well, this has been fun chatting with you. I mean, it's over. We have nothing further to discuss. We've just rocked it all out.
Just went by so fast, Pete.
I know. Well, we can talk later if you want. Yeah. But thank you for doing this. I know it took a minute to get this to happen, but I'm so happy it did.
I know. You know, it's interesting. It's been, I'm sure you know, it's been an interesting few years and, you know, have dealt with losing some very close people to me over the last couple of years, which has been hard. And then
I imagine,
life and kids and
homeschooling
and homeschooling. Yes, I am homeschooling my daughter right now, which...
So it was a lot of stuff but I do appreciate you making the time for me. This is
absolutely.
I'm a super fan.
You're not giving up.
No, I don't. I have a little Emma in me. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for doing this. I really want to tell you, I do think you brought something very special to 90210, especially in that season where it was uncertain what was going to happen with so many people not knowing where they were going to wind up cast wise and whatnot. You brought something, if I'm being totally honest, after you leave, it gets a little bit dull. You know what I mean? So
thanks.
So it's, you really kept that wheel moving of, okay, this is still very good. There's still something going on here. So,
yeah, I so appreciate that. You know, it was reassuring. Actually, one little quick story I'll leave you with is, after 90210 had come out, I was, you know, in between stuff, I was cocktail waitressing at a really popular restaurant on 3rd Street. And I remember one night Aaron Spelling had come in to dine and he saw me and he's like, he totally knew who I was. And he's like, hi, you were so amazing on 90210. And that honestly, that made me so happy. That was all I needed to hear, you know, because this had been several, I mean, maybe even a year later after, you know, him coming in, it just kind of was like a nice reassuring thing that like, oh, he does remember who I am. And, you know, he had a big part in casting me. So it was kind of awesome.
You have two iconic names in your world, Hugh Hefner and Aaron Spelling, as people that took an interest in you and thought that you were awesome. So I think that's really great. And the third here telling you that it was just an incredible run and 5 or 6 episodes that you brought to the table. So really good stuff. And I can't wait to see, because I hope you do some more acting down the line.
Thank you. One day.
Good. You have one
as
person.
As long as I'm, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens.
For sure. Well, I was gonna say you have one person that's definitely gonna watch. So
okay. So. Well, you'll be the first person I let know then.
Please. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much for this. Thank it was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much and for having me.
Stay in touch with me.
Absolutely.
All right, have a good one.